Shanti, and very good morning to all of you. First of all, I would like to invite our distinguished speakers on the stage, Dr. Pratap Midha and Dr. Avtesh Sharma. Please give them a very big hand. Well, I hope you all must be enjoying in this beautiful weather which God has created for us. So slowly I think you all must be feeling that this is not only God's home, but it is all our home also. And in fact, you know what, it reminds me of my childhood days when 24 years back I came to this place. I was just a kid, and ever since then, I always felt कि ये भगवान का घर नहीं, ये मेरा अपना घर है। ये ऐसी सुंदर जगह है जहाँ चरित्रों का निर्माण किया जाता है। तो आइए सबसे पहले उस परम पिता परमात्मा का, जो कि इस यूनिवर्सिटी का टीचर है, स्वयं अध्यापक है, और हम सभी आत्माओं का परम पिता परमात्मा है, टीचर है, परम शिक्षक है, परम सद्गुरु है, जो आकर के हम सभी आत्माओं को सिखाते हैं और रियल आर्ट ऑफ लिविंग कि कैसे इस जीवन को, नो मैटर हम लोग सभी डॉक्टर्स हैं, डॉक्टरी में इस बॉडी के ज्ञान के विषय में पढ़ाया जाता है बहुत कुछ, लेकिन इस आत्मा के विषय में जो इस शरीर का रियल ड्राइवर है, जो इस शरीर के अंदर बैठा हुआ एक ऐसा ड्राइवर है जो इस गाड़ी को चलाता है, उसके विषय में स्वयं भगवान आकर के और सिखाते हैं। तो आइए सबसे पहले लेट अस जस्ट इन्वोक दैट सुप्रीम फादर, द सुप्रीम टीचर, एंड सिट इन 2 मिनट साइलेंस। ओम शांति। Sisters to give flowers and badges to the distinguished guests on the stage. Our BK sisters are going to welcome Dr. Pratap with flowers. Avtesh Mehta.
Oh.
Well, we all realize that the life of doctors has been really, really a very busy life. And the whole life actually goes in designing and developing certain tools and techniques which would actually help improvising the physical well-being of patients. But trust me, have you ever asked yourself this question, that you've been always bothering about the physical well-being of your patients, but what about the mental well-being of the patient? If you actually scrap and, you know, just try and go deeper, why a patient is suffering from this or a particular ailment? In fact, yesterday also Dr. Mehta was clearly mentioning that approximately around 80 to 90% of the ailments today are stress related, or so to say, mind related. So what happens and how can we lead to this mental being of a patient? So today in this first scientific come spiritual session, we have with us an eminent speaker, Dr. Pratap Midha, whom I know, I lovingly call him uncle because it reminds me of my childhood age years when we came as young children, and they have actually given us such amazing vision of this beautiful world and how to actually imbibe this beautiful spiritual come scientific knowledge in our life, and has helped us change our life and become so spiritual. So now we have with us Dr. Pratap Midha, who is the medical superintendent of Global Hospital. He's been associated with this knowledge ever since his childhood. He started the central sterilization unit in Global Hospital and a lot of microbiological and emergency department in the hospital. He's been associated with medical wing ever since the inception. He's traveled world over and has given vivid lectures. He's chaired a lot of lectures in Brussels, in Zurich. He's talked on various lectures on lung diseases and various other diseases in Amsterdam, in Zurich. He's talked on happiness in healthcare and lots of amazing lectures and eye-opening lectures world over. So now we have with us Dr. Pratap Midha, who is going to talk on mind-body medicine, the tools and techniques. Dr.
Very good morning and Om Shanti. Well, we have been here since last evening sharing some of the experiences of spirituality into our lives. Spirituality has been an integral part in Indian scenario, but using it in the medicine has been something which is new to us. We have been talking of various things like happiness, anxiety, stress, contentment, how they really affect our lives and how they really matter in terms of recovery or deterioration of health. Mind-body medicine, we really need to understand at the Brahma Kumaris, we do believe and do practice that it is the practice of soul consciousness. That's why it has been titled as soul, mind, body medicine. The soul conscious, it means that when we are in this world, what is our real ambition? What is our real purpose in life? The purpose in life, which we all know, is to do some good. And in return, we want happiness, we want contentment, we want meaning, we want to give meaning to our lives. And mind, body medicine, it does really start with us only. If we use our mind creatively, we have all learned driving. And we know a good driver, when he takes care of his vehicle, can maintain the vehicle properly, and the vehicle can outlive the expected number of years. I used to have a driver in Chandigarh who was awarded by the Mahindra and Mahindra company for maintenance of his vehicle. So what I mean is this, when we do understand that this physical body, what we call the chariot, has also a driver. The driver is the soul, our driver is the light. When Mahatma Gandhi passed away, Pandit Nehru's first remark was, the light is gone and there's darkness all around in this noon time. What light has gone? The light which used to inspire us. Like whenever we think of someone, any, your father, your mother, or your good dear friend, what touches you the most? Their values, their virtues, are the sustenance which they have given to you. So in a way, when we remember our inner core, what is the soul or the spirit, or what we call the, in Brahma Kumaris we say Atma, and the soul has three faculties, the mind, the intellect and the personality characteristics, which we call Man, Buddhi or Sanskar. So mind, body, medicine now is being given a sub-speciality, what we call psychoneuroimmunology. And if you look at back, can we start the presentation? If we look back at the Hippocrates' time, you know, the physician who is considered to be the father of medicine, his remarks, they today relate to psychoneuroimmunology. What he said, the next... I don't know whether it's working. His remarks that human being can be only understood when they are considered as a whole person. The integral, the mind-body medicine does mean that it is the soul which is, has to be understood with the physical body. We call psyche and soma. We call it atma and sharir. We can give different meanings. But we need to understand that there are two minds. One is our conscious mind, which is creative, which we express. But then there is a database, or what we saw, the programmed, which has been programmed over the years, or in Indian context we can say the over the number of births which we have taken. That is what is sanskar, or subconscious mind. And subconscious mind plays without our knowledge. It is like an autopilot. Something happens and it does happen. So now when we consider this fact, either we are good drivers or bad drivers, it does mean if we manage our emotional health properly, if we have good behavioral characteristics, we can manage this vehicle also very well. This vehicle can be in good shape after a number of years. When we were talking of stress, stress is basically a term which has been derived from physics, which was defined as the kind of resistance which a metal experiences when external pressure is applied to it. But what is more important is the internal resistance. So stress in our lives also has two components. One is the external pressure, the other is internal strength. So the internal strength of the driver can make all the difference. I'm sorry. Achha. Okay. See, even Plato, he was born almost 423 years BC. And 423, Plato is a Greek philosopher whose mentor was Socrates and whose student was Aristotle. He said that thing, that which is applicable today also, that it is a great error if we treat body without considering the soul, without, and we separate the soul from the body. Next. So human organism can be considered in three aspects. One is our consciousness, what is spiritual. The other is the mind, including the thoughts and emotions, the mental and the physical body. And all these three are integrated together. We have known for years together that khushi jaisi khuraak nahi aur chinta jaisa rog nahi. People can worry themselves to be sick. It has been known that, you know, once you keep imagining that you are going to have something bad happening to you, and after a period of time it does happen. So thoughts are the most powerful things. The intense thoughts lead to intense emotions. Positive thoughts lead to positive emotions. And negative thoughts lead to negative emotions. You know, if you look at, there are certain things which are in our genes, what we call the nature. But the nurture, the things which we acquire over a period of time, it molds our behavior. It molds or it programs our reaction or interaction with the environment. Next. See, the analogy from Gita and the Upanishads is that the master is the soul, or what we call the sarathi. This body is my physical costume, and it is the spirit which drives the physical vehicle. Intellect is the firm-footed charioteer. We say that there is always a gap, a slip between what we do, think, and what we do. And that intellect screens the thoughts, what is translated into actions. Buddhi is the barrier. You know, what we say that sometimes we depend upon our intellect also. A person who has never smoked in his life and is offered a smoke, first is my intellect would tell him, no, smoking is not good, based on the knowledge or the information which he has acquired. But sometimes he would think also, oh, so many people smoke, why should I not smoke? So like, intellect also has to be given right inputs. And then is the discursive mind, is like the mind what we, even Dadi was sharing yesterday, that man is like chanchal. The man is the one which gets distracted. It's like a child, I would say. If a child has a knife in its hand, you know, if you want to take away the knife, you cannot take away the knife like that. You have to give something interesting to the child, something maybe colorful which would attract his mind, and then only he'll leave the knife. So it's like, in a way, if we want to really make our life powerful and peaceful, then mind has to be nurtured with good positive thoughts. And when the positive inputs which we consciously create, and these thoughts are consciously put into practice, that's what we say, that we, these days we are working mechanically, we are walking like as if we are asleep. So it is like becoming awake, becoming conscious of the moment, what the some people have even used, living in the present moment, doing what you are doing at that moment, even enjoying it. Like when you are reading a new recipe, you know, what you do is, you read the recipe and then do the process. So likewise, you see, in meditation or in consciously creating or training of mind, you create a thought and then experience it. Create a thought and then experience it. And that experience becomes the foundation for the further practice. Next. So the thoughts and emotions, they really influence our behavior and our lifestyle and our relationship. We know, you know, sometimes we perceive things in a way which really we have been trained to do. There are so many actual happening in the life, and our perception is not good, and we perceive something which is not actually it is. So it is our lifestyle, it is our relationship which matter on our the way we think, the way we react, the way we really evolve ourselves into that process. Next. So one of the most important things which we need to understand is the mind expresses through the brain. The mind is in a higher entity. The soul is a higher entity. I'm using the words interchangeably because most of us would understand, relate with the mind in better way than the soul. But mind is one faculty of the soul. Mind is that faculty which creates thoughts, which is the basis for our emotions and our thinking patterns. So the consciousness is the basic ground of the being. Atma is the chaitanya. Sharir is the mortal. The soul is the immortal. And it is the soul which is imperishable. We in India do understand that the soul carries its programs with it to the next birth also. So it's not only when we are physically sick or physically suffering, it's not only because of one birth's cumulative effect, but over a number of births which we have taken can cumulatively express through either sorrow or suffering or physical illness. Some of people have used what we call the transgressional hypnosis. What they take is they take people back into their past lives and treat their sicknesses like something like pain in the neck or backache or certain other symptoms also. Next. See, the quantum theory, the energy, what they say, the energy can behave in terms of particles or in shape of light. So the soul is also an energy, indestructible energy. We had Mr. Shiv Kheda speaking here couple of weeks ago, and he said the scientist and the spiritualist agree on this basic aspect, that energy is indestructible. It can change its shape. Everyone does understand that the energy is the one which we can feel also. I would say the energy of someone's happiness you can always feel. Even the energy of the anger you can always feel. So it's like, it is not that energy can only be measured in the laboratory, but energy can also be measured in the in our minds, in our thoughts. We can know that today my teacher is not in good mood, and we really then modify our behavior according to his mood also. Next. This is some of the things, you know, things have been considered for times immemorial, that, you know, whatever our brain is, whatever our neurons are, they cannot be changed. The neurons, once which we die, we cannot modify them. But couple of studies which have come up, they show that particularly our thoughts and our behavior can even change our brain structure. The neuroplasticity. This gentleman, he did experiments with two group of people. Both the groups were trained to play piano. One group was studying, was sitting on the piano and actually playing the piano, and the other group was not playing the piano but just moving their fingers and then experiencing that music which they had practiced earlier without actually playing the piano. And he found that the changes in the brain in both the groups were similar. It's not the physical activity, but even the thoughts, the imagination which they were doing could modify their brain. One of these articles which appeared in Newsweek about, I think about a year back, that was on exercise. They mentioned in studies that exercise can also regenerate our neurons. They talked about neuron growth factors. When we do any activity, physical activity, it doesn't mean that people used to say that, okay, this man is only for sports, this man is only for intellectual activity. But even by doing physical activity, you can modify the brain's capacity to understand the intellectual learning also. That's what they call. Next. See, this Bruce Lipton, he's a neurobiologist, he also did on genes. He says, with your thoughts and emotion, you can shut off your genes or you can switch on your genes. Like, genetic behavior can also be modified by your thoughts and emotions. He did long studies, like being a good driver or bad driver, the same thing comes. Your performance at the emotional level can influence the brain and enhance the brain's capacity, which can be used for further learning also. So they have done studies on long term. There's one of the gentlemen who did studies on children which had hearing impairments. He designed special cochlear implant for them also. He designed a program, four-word, for these children with learning disabilities. And he said with these computer programs, he could enhance even the capacity of the autistic children also. Mazanik, yes, the name is Michelle Mazanik. he is in University of California, he did these trials. So this is what it does mean, that mind has greater capacity to influence our working and our capacity to even improve our immune system also. Next. See, this is a Dutch study. This cardiologist actually came and participated in one of our preventive cardiology conference. And they did long-term study, not at one center. This was basically what we call the near-death experiences, or the what we call the when people have had cardiac arrest and they were revived in their experiences. These experiences do tell us that consciousness is not something physical, but it is something which is metaphysical, which really is the source of energy. Like whenever we put a source of power to anything, whether it is an air conditioner or whether it is a laptop, it comes into function. So whenever the soul enters into this physical substrate, or the physical costume, then only it gets empowered. Our thoughts also empower anything which we think about, anything we can give importance. Something like television ratings. You know, you are watching a serial, and the moment you feel disinterested, some people stop watching, the rating drops and they have to withdraw those serials. So likewise, when we give empowerment to our thoughts, any thoughts, the thoughts such as I am a peaceful soul, if I keep repeating that thoughts and keep experiencing the thought that repeatedly, then peace becomes my embodiment. Peace becomes part of my life. So likewise, anything which we have negative in our mind, like anger or hatred or something non-cooperative attitude, if we try to think about it, we'll be increasing its rating. But if we try to replace it with something more positive, more powerful, the rating would drop down, and this would really retrain our mind, reprogram our subconscious mind. Next. Next slide. So, in brief, I would say mind-body medicine is psychoneuroimmunology. How our emotions, they affect our nervous system, including the endocrine system. It affects our immunology, our Department of Defense. It has been studied for long-term studies that anyone who's depressed, anyone who's not in good mood, catches viral illnesses much more frequently. One of the diseases which has been studied with long term is tuberculosis. You know, tuberculosis can lie dormant for years together in your body. But the moment you are feeling low, you are not really looking after yourself, then the tuberculosis can crop up. There was one book which appeared in book stands about 10 years ago. This was known as Immune Powered Personality. One of the factors which he said is the ACE factor. What he says, and attention, connection and expression. A stands for attention, C stands for connection, and the third is, he says, whatever is happening in our body, we should not ignore it. Any pain, any distress, any discomfort which is happening in our body, we need to really connect it, why it is happening. Make a purposeful research or purposeful investigation into it, why it is happening. Why I'm suffering, and then express the need for help. And that's why we say that, particularly with malignancies, we say that when cancer is detected in the beginning, we can manage it well. So likewise, any symptoms which is occurring in our physical systems, if we really pay attention to it in the beginning, when it is a minor, we should not ignore. Headache is happening, the reflex action is we just gulp the analgesic and forget about it. We have no time to think about why the headache is happening, why my pain in neck is happening. So that pain in neck could be a kind of a symptom which is making you aware that you are passing through a stressful event. And then if you can change that event in such a way that event becomes pleasant for you, probably you'll not be in a position to take either a tranquilizer or something like a painkiller. Next. So psycho, as I said, we can move on to the next slide. psycho-reflex of our thinking, neuro-reflex of our neurological systems, and then immunology is the cellular structure and the immune system which get affected. Next. So, it is like if we address our psychological health, we can improve our immune system. And this gentleman had listed 7 psychological characteristics which would enhance our immune system. Next. So that expression that is, it's all in your mind. Basically, it is the origin is from the mind. And it is the mind when it faces that event or that passes through that particular experience repeatedly. And then experience can express into physical symptoms. One of the things which you know, the most common symptom, headache, we really know that headache is most of the time, it is because of our dysfunctional emotional health. It is because of our negative thinking. But those negative thinking, that stressful experience, if it is continued for a long time, it can go into depression or it can go into anxiety, neurosis as a sickness also. So it is, the issue is that our emotional health, our psychological health, first it comes into our mental derangement and then into the physical health. Next. So there are enormous amount of studies, what Dr. Mehta was also mentioning, things which we consider physical like bronchial asthma, coronary artery disease or hypertension or irritable bowel syndrome, they all start with something happening in our emotional health. Any derangement in our emotional health does come to that. Next. We have known people, even in the recent times, we have example of Jayaprakash Narayan, our leader, who was responsible for Janata government to come into power, and when he saw the factions breaking up and he passed through such turmoil and he passed away. The people who have will to be well, they can survive in almost any situation. I had personal experience of one of our colleagues at the hospital here in Mount Abu. She had pancreatitis. After surgery, she went into problem, and then it went into peritonitis, she went into cardiac arrest, her pupils were dilated, we did her EEG, we called a neurologist, she went into renal failure, she was in coma for almost 6 weeks. And whereas we had, you know, most of us, the only powerful person was her husband. When we asked her husband that, would you like to shift her to a higher hospital? He said, no, I would like to keep it here only. The kind of environment which I am having here, there was regular meditation going for this doctor. And she recovered amazingly after passing through all that stage. And there was no explanation for her recovery. Although we were only attending to the symptoms what she was passing through. Otherwise also I have seen many people, in a trivial illness something happens and we lose the patient. And in a major illness, someone is able to survive. Sometimes we call it destiny, sometimes we call it karmic philosophy. But probably it is the will behind the person which is much more important than anything else. Next. So mind-body sin is not a cure or panacea for our illness, but it does matter in promotion of health. It does matter that your patient would have better compliance, they would have better faith in you, and they would be able to recover faster. Next. So they can enhance the quality of life, these mind-body medicine. I'm going to enumerate some of the techniques which have been established now, which have been used regularly in the medical practice. And these techniques, they can extend your longevity also. And they can make you, even in spite of the sickness, Dadi Prakashmani, who was till recently our administrative head, you know, the intensivist Dr. P.K. Jain, he shared experience. Whenever he would go to Dadi, who was for a long time on ventilator or other invasive support, whenever he would go to Dadi and he would ask Dadi, how are you? So Dadi would always say, ki main achhi hoon. And he asked one day the Adi, you have so much problem and you always call, whenever I ask you, you always, first answer is, ki main achhi hun. So the Adi said, what you are asking, how am I? And that I am feeling, my feeling is so good. That's what she explained her experience. So it's like, it is, I have seen a friend of mine who was in Chandigarh, he had ankylosing spondylitis. And he was on stretcher for many years. Only thing mobile was his hands, these two upper limbs. He could paint with those limbs, he could go and give lectures, and he was running schools in the slums. In spite of his illness, he was a good poet, he was editing a newsletter, and we were working together to support schools in the slums in Chandigarh. So it is not the physical health or the situation which through which we are passing. It is the kind of contribution which we want to make in terms of our creativity, in terms of our strong minds and enlightened spirits. Next. What happened? Next. This is the statement. Now we have some of the tools. This is again a statement by Hippocrates, the father of medicine. See, now when we come to the techniques, one of the important techniques, you can keep forwarding the, one of the important techniques which is being used here also, Dr. Satish Gupta, our cardiologist, he used the inherent power of meditation for treating coronary artery disease patient. And what has been known since 1975, Herbert Benson authored a book, The Relaxation Response. We all have the capacity to produce relaxation within us. He described, as we have fight-flight response, you know, whenever we face with any stressful situation, either we would try to cope up with mobilizing all of our resources, or we would like to run away from it so that we are able to gather our resources and then later cope up with that situation. So in a way, it is inherent within us. All of us, when we are able to sit in silence and focus on something, something which really interests us, the presence of soul, the presence of that connection between the soul and the supreme soul, is the most energizing, because this is based on the hard truth that we are all souls, we are all brothers. This body is my physical costume. It is the soul which is the driving force. And that relaxation which it brings in has been documented in terms of its, because it brings down our metabolic rates, it brings down our blood pressure, our respiration becomes better. And the meditation, if you go to the history of meditation, it's a Latin word, meditation, and it is just to think about, to consider. That's the meaning. And the Latin root for medicine, medere, which means to look after, to take care. Next. See, meaning both come from the same root, which means to take appropriate measures, or take care of ourselves. That's why self-care is very important. In Dr. Gupta's study, what we used was exercise, diet, vegetarian diet, and meditation. You can very well imagine all these three things doctors can only prescribe. Diet has to be followed by the patients, exercise has to be undertaken by the patients, and meditation has to be practiced at his personal level. So these are self-care technologies, or it is empowering the patients to take care of themselves. With this study, he was able to demonstrate that coronary atherosclerosis, which is a physical symptom of over the years, well, he was able to reduce the coronary atherosclerosis by virtue of these three factors: meditation, exercise, and diet. He did do control studies. In one group, they didn't offer the meditation. They were asked to continue with whatever stress management technique they were taking care. And he found out that people who are practicing Raj Yoga meditation, they were able to demonstrate much better coronary artery reduction in coronary artery blockages than the control group. And this study has been going on for last 10 years, and study amazingly was supported by Department of Defense. Ministry of Defense supported this study. The Defense Institute of Physiology and Allied Sciences were active partners in this study, because they found out that in the Indian Army or Indian Armed Forces, the young people are succumbing to heart disease. It is not diet, it is not physical exercise alone, but all the factors combined, the diet, lack of physical exercise and stress, these three contribute to the atherosclerosis. So relaxation has been in medical settings used for management of stress, relief from anxiety and chronic pain. What we call the mind using its inner strength to take care of these. So it improves immune function, because probably we know that stress produces certain hormones in the body which suppress our immune system. So by preventing that suppression factors, we are able to enhance our immune system. Next. Visualization. Even in this cardiac study, the lifestyle intervention, we used visualize, asking people to visualize. We had a couple of sessions which were opening the mind session. We asked them, okay, go back and see, how were you before the start of cardiac disease? What were your emotional health? Why did it happen to you? And they were able to open up and come out with certain factors which had changed in their life's journey, how this really precipitated the cardiac disease. So visualization has been used for treating cancer patients. There's a book which has appeared a couple of years back by Carl and Stephanie Simonton. They use this visualization for terminal cancer patients, asking them, giving them their x-rays and asking them to look at their tumors and then give radiation through their thoughts to those tumors and see that how their tumors regressed. And there are a couple of people who are able to demonstrate the recovery from the cancer. One of the study which I would quote, David Spiegel did in breast cancer patient. There he used the getting together, the group therapy for breast cancer survival patients. Next. Now I'm going faster than you. This is biofeedback. I had the opportunity to visit Miami in Jackson Memorial Center, and I saw for myself this gentleman who's not a physiotherapist, who's basically a clinical psychologist, and he has used biofeedback to treat innumerable patients, 2,000 patients of spinal injury, even children with cerebral palsy and other muscular dystrophies, to treat patients with biofeedback. You know, the basic thing is, when you are able to bring in changes under your eye, the computers have really done marvels in this study, because when you connect someone and the biofeedback is able to give that picture on the computer screen, and with the computer screen you are using your mind to change the colored lines. He would say that, okay, change the red line a bit, change the green line a bit, and they would be connected to their muscle strength. And he was able, there were people who were totally incapacitated. They came on a stretcher and then they were able to go back walking. But it did require inputs from the patient. It was the patient who was really doing things for himself. It was the patient who was giving inputs to the computer programs. With the focused awareness, they were able to change their physical parameters. Biofeedback, we know, has been used for, now these days you have polygraphs and lie detection tests, and you are using it for people to confess what they have done during their activity. And the basis is the same, that you can deceive anyone else, but you cannot deceive yourself. The moment you do something, you share something wrong, your polygraph would show it on the screen. Your subconscious mind is not under the control of the conscious mind. And that's how it happens. It comes on the screens. Even people have used it for chronic alcoholics. It has been used for space astronauts also for their training. athletes have used, imagining, visualizing something and then being hooked onto the biofeedback, increasing their performance. Next. See, it's like one can learn the relaxation in the same way like you drive or you shoot a basketball. So it's not difficult. It is training yourself. It is empowering yourself. Next. Now it is the, you know, one of the questions which is always asked. How does religion matter into our life? And greater than religion, which is common to all, is spirituality. So many studies, almost in last 10 years, 1800 articles have appeared in the, so many books have been written by physicians on the matter of faith. How does faith matter? And this is a statement from someone which we have read that book, the young girl who wrote her diary when she was under the prison of the Nazis, that Annie Frank. This is her statement. He who has courage and faith will never perish in misery. It is how we give meaning to our suffering. There was another story which appeared in one of the articles, is that American prisoners long time back during the Iranian Revolution, when they were kept under solitary confinement, they were able to communicate with each other by knocks, like, you know, knocking. And they were able to share whatever extra food they had with others. So like that, you know, when you are actively involved and using your mental strength to live up to the expectation of your divine design, then you are able to survive through all the misery. Religious factors have been, you know, widespread. They have been known to, you know, basically increase our survival through major illnesses. They have been able to cut down alcohol consumption. So many things. There are almost a volume of studies which have appeared. And these are some of the studies which I was able to take up from them. So it's basically, there's so much bibliography on religious factors. And some of the things is like increase survival, reduce alcohol, reduce anxiety, reduce blood pressure, and improved quality of life. Statistics is enormous. It's only when you start looking, then you are amazed at how much is in the literature. Next. See, even in the study which was done by Dr. Gupta, we found the more they adhered to the parameters which were advised by the physician, the more they adhered to the dietary regime, the more regularly they practiced meditation, the more regularly they did exercise, the improvement was proportionate to the adherence. If they were adhering 80% to the program, their performance was more than 80%. But if they were adhering less than 50%, the enhancement was not there. So the commitment also makes the difference. How committed? It is not just like following something like a ritual. But the way you do it with love, or the commitment or devotion for your guru or your religious head, then it makes all the difference. So this is the studies on intercessory prayer which have been used for patients in the in the intensive care and the critical care. The patients were just selected, divided into two groups. One group were assigned to a couple of people who were praying for them, the other group which was not praying. Even Dr. Usha Kiran, she's here, she also shared in one of his studies that people, when they were taught meditation, our experience of spirituality, only 3 or 4 days before the major surgery, cardiac surgery, their intraoperative and postoperative recovery was much better than the people who were not taught meditation. Even people who were not taught meditation did complain to Dr. Usha Kiran later on that why they were left out. So it's something which is the aura which we create around ourselves, which also is transmitted to our patients. Next. This is something is really important, what we call neki karo darya mein dal. They call it helpers high. People who help others without any selfish motive. So much social service goes on. So many people do great charity, but people who help others, help particularly strangers who are not in a position to give back. Yesterday someone was sharing with Mother Teresa's experience. Even when the people were shown Mother Teresa's movies, her documentary on her life, people were able to enhance their immune system. So that help us high, and particularly what we call the benefit of blessings, our benefit which comes from good deed, doing it to others, this is known as altruism. So this gentleman who did the study, and he found out there's a relationship between what we do when we do good to others. Next, I think this is consistently, I'm sorry, can you reverse back? People who help, the findings were people who help others consistently report better health than peers in their age group. He divided it into two groups. Next. See, he says it's not that, you know, even that event when you help someone and you saw the smile on their face, even remembering like the daffodils poem of William Wordsworth, you know, when he saw that daffodils dancing in the breeze, and whenever he was in a lonely mood, he would bring that image to his mind and he would feel the same happiness again. So likewise, it's not when they remembered that event later in their years, they were able to elicit the same response, what we call helper's eye. Next. This fellowship, being together, coming together, sitting together, the magic of being together, that also helps us in eliciting. It has been seen people who are socially isolated, who do not have anyone to look after them, particularly after cardiac disease, it was seen that people who were alone, them the arrhythmia problems was much more. And even if they had a pet to take care, you know, if they had a pet whom they could care as and who could give them company, whom they could talk, and that is elicit their problems were much less. So this is what, sorry, it's erratic. And he said adverse effects of stress when we are alone, you know, it's like when we are alone, we are able to feel the pressures more. But when we are in company, we are able to manage the stress. That's what they call that gum baantne se aadha hota hai aur khushi baantne se dugni hoti hai. So it's like that kind of experience of togetherness now has been researched. Although these are anecdotal sayings, but they have scientific element into it. Next. See, American Journal of Epidemiology has reported a study on 7,000 people. And this is said the social isolation has pervasive health consequences. And consistently it is to decrease mortality. So it's a long-term studies. One of the study which we done was a retrospective study was done by our psychiatrist. And he found out that people who are hooked on to drugs, alcohol or smoking for many years, when they came to a group of Rajyogis in connection with Rajyogi, they didn't require any psychological support or any medication to get rid of those things. Their aversion to alcohol or hard drugs was so enormous that they were able to get rid of it in just one day. Or some people, 5% of the people did require some psychological support, but rest of the 95% were able to get rid of their habits just by being together in a group where most of the people had got over those problems. Alcoholic Anonymous is something which is getting together. Even Dean Ornish, when he did study on cardiac patients, he found out that one of the factors which did enhance the coronary artery regression was being together. Not just socially getting together, but sharing your traumatic feelings, sharing adverse events in your life. Someone even remarked that even if you don't have someone to share, if you just write your daily journal, a daily diary, wherein you open out and just write those things, also enhances your immune system. This David Spiegel study is very landmark. He did on breast cancer patients, and he found out that people who were able to get together and manage their stress well, they had much more survival rates in breast cancer patients. All other factors remaining the same. Next. Thank you. And when we summarize, we just say there are so many other things, like I said, a lot of research needs to be done, which would document further connection with mind-body medicine and how we can use it effectively for our patients and also for our personal self. And it is something which we can no longer ignore. The body is not just a machine, but it is a composite thing of consciousness and the body which needs to be taken as whole. Thank you. Om Shanti.
Thank you so much, Pai Sir. Well, something which is very interesting with these spiritual talks, spiritual come scientific discussions, is they are so solacing that our soul, you know, we start feeling at peace, we start feeling at ease, and people who have been really complaining about that they don't get sleep, trust me, when you listen to these talks, you really start feeling mentally very relaxed, and somewhere down the line, you start feeling dozing off. So is that the case? Yes or no? Yeah.